League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Don't sweat the technique. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The new ESPN Houston app is live, and it is spectacular. Download the new version. New app allows you to sign up and enter to win our giveaways so you can win stuff for free. Hit the go button. You'll see the new features that will include immediate access to the text and call-in line, all of our social media platforms, and our YouTube channel. Chat feature in the app that listeners can use to interact with each other and the shows, and the app is now available for Android and Google Play users. So what attribute is the most important for C.J. Stroud in 2025? Yesterday I said decision-making. The Texans today talked about ownership of the offense. We'll get into a couple of sound bites on that because the Twitchers, they're just begging us for more. What would be that attribute for you, Blankers?
Can I just say staying upright?
Yeah, you can.
I mean, very important. I think as much as anything else, that's what really is first and foremost, I think, on everybody's mind. But the fact that we're dealing with what we saw last year, whether it was the system or otherwise, you're dealing with a situation where if he doesn't stay upright, he's got no chance to do a whole hell of a lot. And if he does stay upright, if he gets, you know, pestered and he gets pressured as much as we saw a year ago, I just don't think that it matters whatever Kaylee's trying to call. I don't think whatever kind of new and better playbook and system and everything that they have in place matters. I just feel like you have to give him the amount of time to execute no matter what play is the one that they're going to go with. And that worries me because of the fact that we don't know what we don't know, as you said earlier, about this line.
Yeah, I mean, that's critical, no doubt about it. So staying upright, decision-making, Texans say ownership. You got one, B-Mac?
Yeah, just piggybacking off of yours, Jeremy. Like, there were so many times over his first 2 years, especially last year, where it would seem like at times Stroud would pass up the easy throw to try to make the bigger play downfield. And that's typical of a lot of quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson did that as well. But especially while you're trying to protect that offensive line that's trying to come together, you're still trying to figure out if you've got a good offensive line. Stroud needs to get to the point, and maybe this is also part of the offense that Slowick ran, because it seemed like a lot of the routes went deeper than they necessarily needed to. But be willing to take the underneath check down to the running back or the drag coming across the middle rather than looking down and always trying to hit the post deeper down the field.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that was Slowick, though. Because you remember Slowick a lot of times. He loved explosive plays.
Yep.
Like anytime that he, like, what is the identity? And whenever you say football, whatever, like he would say explosive plays. And even when the Texans weren't scoring points and they weren't moving the ball and they were very mediocre relative to the rest of the league, he'd always be like, yeah, but look how many explosive plays we have. You don't win games with explosive
also,
plays.
Also, think about how many times when the drive, they were on a drive, they had tempo, they had rhythm, and they were just kind of moving the football and moving the chains, and then he'd try a gadget play or something stupid trying to look for a big play.
So I wonder, like, I think it's a good one, Brian, but I wonder how much of that is because of the play caller versus Stroud, because I'm with you, like, that would be something that needs to be improved, too, and, like, we didn't play the clip of Nico's talking about, like, actually it might have been in that clip where he said that Kaylee's like a yak guy, like he wants to give his playmakers the ball in space and then let them go, which would be kind of, you know, I think correlated with what Brian was saying, like, hey, here's a short pass instead of an intermediate medium pass that my guy can just go. Like, if you have Kirk and you have Nico and you have Higgins and you have Noel, like, give them the ball in space and see what they can do.
No, I'm with you. I think that That's probably, as it relates to, like, even D'Amico's quote, like, that's basically taking advantage of knowing your personnel. It's not just having the right personnel on the field. It's knowing your personnel and knowing how many different guys can beat you in how many different ways and putting them in their best position, too. Look, I'm encouraged. Again, you got to see it, but I do feel very encouraged about the fact that CJ's in the best position maybe since they've had him to really kind of solidify being a good quarterback in this league.
You hope.
Like, right. But, but I'm saying the first year, Slowik did some things early on that were good for him. He did some good things that we didn't think he was going to be able to do right away. But overall, the league caught back up to him. I feel like now he's in a situation where this can be more kind of long-termish.
It just depends on how good they are. Right. Like, I mean, if Kaylee's not a good play caller, he's not in a good position. Like, if the offensive line is equal to what they were last year and less talented than they were last year, then it's not a good position. Like, there's a lot of ifs that have to hit for that to be the case. Now, I do think it's in play. Texture, for me, it's two things. For CJ, one, him being able to manipulate DBs with his eyes to get them off hot reads and don't be Superman out there. See, I think he does a good job of that. Key from L.A., awareness and using his legs a bit more. I'm with you on the awareness. I'm not with you on the legs. I don't want C.J. Stroud running a whole lot, to be honest.
I think I don't mind. Again, it goes to the decision-making conversation. I think if nothing's there and he realizes he can make a positive play out of it, that's one thing. I also think that he needs to be extremely smart about it and intelligent about it, about getting down and avoiding any kind of contact in doing so. Otherwise, it's the risk is not worth the reward.
For sure. I don't want him taking extra hits at all. But I think he's more dangerous in the pocket than out of the pocket, though. Like, he's capable. Like, I'm not saying he's not capable as a runner. And he can, like, sure, third and three, a little bit of a rollout off of play action. You see the first down there, grab it. No problem there. But I think he's more dangerous in the pocket than outside of the pocket.
Oh, I agree with you. I just think that, to me, my mind goes back to I'd rather have a no gain or a 1 or 2 yard gain where he just kind of gets a yard or two, gets back to the line of scrimmage, and gets down before he gets drilled, as opposed to trying to make that big play and make chicken salad out of, you know, whatever, and then end up really screwing them over.
I'm with you there, but I'd rather him throw an incomplete pass and throw it away than run for 1 or 2 yards, unless it's for the first down, unless it's for a third down. But, you know, whatever. Texture, y'all sure do hype up the Texans and act like they can do no wrong, but are hypercritical over everything the Astros do. Is that accurate? 713-780-3776. Do the Killer Bees act like the Texans do no wrong, but are hypercritical over everything the Astros do? 713-780-3776.
I feel like that's the first day he's listened to the show.
I was just going to say, I feel like, tell me you're a casual without telling me you're a casual if that's your opinion.
Yeah, I've never been accused of that one. That's a first for me. But, hey, maybe it's a blind spot for me. You guys let us know. Or do the Killer Bees hype up the Texans too much and are too critical of the Astros? 713-780-3776.
Did we just not review the fact that we were hypercritical of the fact that Bobby Slowik didn't make any adjustments at halftime and the fact that
No longer a Texan.
They tried to make too many big plays when they didn't need to. Gadget plays.
But... He gone.
Okay, he sunshine gone, and rainbows it is, sir.
Here are the Texans on the ownership that C.J. Stroud has to have of the offense. First, D'Amico Ryan's talking on that Stroud ownership.
For sure. From that quarterback perspective, you want that ownership. You want it to be on your plate, so to speak. And C.J., he's looking forward to it. He's open to it. He wanted it, and we're here. And so I think he's done a really fantastic job so far, and Kaylee's done a really great job of working with them. They're getting on the same page, making sure the terminology, everything makes sense so we can get in and out of the huddle fast, we can play fast, we can operate clean, and we've been doing that.
And then here was C.J. Stroud saying how this offense is more of a quarterback's offense and also talks about that ownership.
Yeah, I mean, this is more of a, you know, quarterback's offense where, you know, you're RDing, you're calling the shots, you're switching protections if you need, and it's really like just me in the center. So that's J-Pat or Juice. Just, you know, got to have good communication with those guys and, you know, relay to everybody else what's going on. So, you know, Nick is doing a great job teaching us the stash. So is Jerry and Gerard. So, it's a lot more ownership.
It's a lot on C.J. Stroud's plate this year.
I'm going to say this, though, Jeremy, again, and look, get used to it if you're listening because everybody's going to be doing it. But it's all about right now as camp opens up, interpreting coach speak and player speak and what everybody's saying. But again, as I hear those two quotes, the takeaway for me is from the D'Amico aspect. One thing that you could tell frustrated him last year, and it seems like it was worth mentioning that that's something he doesn't want to see this year, is them getting out of the huddle late. Is them, you know, getting penalized because they didn't get to the line of scrimmage in time. And we knew that was an issue. And that he mentioned the fact that we knew this was something CJ was clamoring for. And we know that he kind of made reference to it, that he'd like to do more last year and have more control of it. but maybe there was even more so going on behind the scenes where CJ's like, let me do more at the line of scrimmage.
See, that cut was actually pretty telling to me with how they like he was handled in the first 2 years of his career, the 2 years that line up with Bobby Slowick. It seems like Bobby Slowick had governors on C.J. Stroud.
Oh,
like
for sure.
He didn't let him change the play at the line. Who knows if he gave him like any sort of audible? Who knows if he gave him any sort of offensive line like protection? Like we heard a little bit of that last year, like late in the year, that he was starting to help out a little bit more on coverage. But a little bit more means that you didn't have much to begin with. So I think that's something that changes a lot in going into this season in Stroud's third year, is that he's going to be responsible for a lot more than he was in the first 2 years. And how he handles that, I think, is going to be a huge determining factor on how the Houston Texans offense performs this year. Now, I'm confident that Stroud's going to be good in that area, but if the Texans are like really bad offensively and C.J. Stroud has a lot on his plate, I think it will be a pretty telling about C.J. Stroud and, you know, his stature in the NFL.
Yeah, it could be a point of contention for sure. And I definitely think that they're setting it up like this is offense by committee and that he is going to play a big role right next to Kaylee in terms of what they run, how they run it, and what they're able to do. And it's crazy, though, that when listening to that, because I agree with what you said about how it's going to be a telltale of a lot of things for CJ going forward, it seems like this is exactly what he's always been set up to do. It seems like from everything that you've heard, that going back to Ohio State, when you heard about the fact that he really didn't want to talk to the OC if the OC wasn't calling the plays, he wanted to be on the same page with Day, and he wanted to be, you know, the guy, you know, talking to the guy calling the plays. It seems like this is right for him. But it also, you know, to your point, I think this. Be careful what you wish for, because now you got to do it.
Yep. Texture, I feel kind of hard that anybody could be critical of a team that has a third of their players on the injured list for 2/3 of the current season. Fair point. And then another texture, Killer Bees are the fair opinions about all H-Town teams. There you go, 3390. The check is in the mail.
What I hate is that we're on the first day of camp, and it's bringing back so many bad memories of things that we did have to be honest about last year. Where, like, even the how slow it took them to get out of the huddle on, you know, play after play when you're screaming at your television, I had forgotten about that.
I've never been called, like, a positive person, period. Like, people get on to me for being critical of, like, literally anything. So that, I'm taking a little aback at that one. The Athletic has the Packers, Texans, Commanders, Vikings, Chiefs as the most overrated teams in 2025. Thoughts? Packers, Texans, Commanders, Vikings, Chiefs.
Packers are rightfully where they belong.
You hate the Packers.
I don't hate the Packers.
You're
I hate
so
their
critical
quarterback.
Of the Packers.
Add it to the list.
I hate
the Packers.
No, I hate Jordan Love. I will never hate the Green Bay Packers. I can't.
Fact or fiction? You took a Green Bay Packers sticker off your car.
Oh no! It got car washed off.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
You can afford
Brian,
car wash.
Go look at the license plate holder and see if it still says Green Bay.
Until you go through a car wash, apparently.
Well, that's not taking off metal with bolts.
What is your license plate number so I can go check out at your vehicle?
No chance. I got enough to deal with on that front lately. Thanks.
Yeah.
I don't think the Texans are overrated. I think they're properly rated because I don't think until we see otherwise that they're the cream of the crop and a Super Bowl contender until they can beat Baltimore and Kansas City. I just like we were talking about with the offensive line, I got to see it. I got to see it. But I don't think they're overrated. I think that people respect them as one of the better teams in this league.
I mean, from a Green Bay perspective, like 9.5 games. Like,
yeah, from a Green Bay perspective, I think it's accurate because I don't think they've done anything, and their quarterback hasn't done anything to make you believe that he can do anything.
I just don't know that they're rated that high, the Packers.
Maybe so. Maybe. Well, like I mentioned that we've talked about. I was the first driving the bus on the Jordan Love bandwagon needs to stop and that he's not as good as people think. I think a lot of people are jumping on the bus now. So maybe that takes them down a notch, and rightfully so. I don't know. I haven't seen that much of where the most national prognostications are still having them as a playoff team.
I think they are a playoff team though. Like I feel like they're rated properly. Like whenever I look at like these like the win totals, like Packers are right there. Like right where they expect them to be. I wouldn't have the Texans as overrated. They're a 9.5 win total team in Vegas. Like I think they get there comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Commanders, I absolutely think they're overrated.
I've been banging that drum for a while.
Vikings, I kind of like the Vikings. I like O'Connell. I think McCarthy has skill. Yes, it'll be interesting to see what he does first time in the NFL, blah 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 blah. And no way am I picking an Andy Reid coach team and a Fat Mahomes quarterback team to be the most overrated team? So no, I'm trashing that as well.
No, I would put Denver on that list before I would put the Chiefs. The two teams we talked about the other day, I believe that Denver, as much as they were the, you know, the sexy, everybody paying attention to pick of a team that's on the rise, I think they're going to take a step back just like Washington.
Mm-hmm. Pete, you guys haven't been more critical of the Astros unless it involves unexplainable typo excuses or criticism of the Three Stooges medical staff. And Pete knows ball, so I trust Pete. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line. How do you see these top training camp battles around the NFL playing out? Some fun battles around the league. How are they going to play out in your opinion? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Some interesting camp battles around the NFL. We'll get to those in a minute, how we see those playing out. NFL.com doing their slow leak of their top 100 players in the National Football League. I'm just kidding. I hate when people do that. Jalen Ramsey, number 66. Pittsburgh Steeler, Jalen Ramsey, right, by the way. I feel like that's fair for Ramsey. Like, a little bit older, still very good. He dropped 41 places from a year ago. Maybe that's too big of a drop-off, but I feel like 66 is fine for Ramsey. Just going off first bluff.
Look, he's not his prime anymore. He's still a good football player. He can be a good football player on a good defense. I don't think that he's elite.
No, I think, I mean, he used to be, certainly. I think he's a little bit below elite now. I have no problem with 66. And then at number 65, they leaked two today, was Trey McBride. This is one where I feel like is not good. I feel like he's way better than the 65th best player in the NFL. In fact, top of the dome, I would have Trey McBride as my second best tight end in the NFL. And I think the second best tight end in the NFL is higher than 65th in the entire league.
Really? Second best tight
end
in the NFL?
Who do you have out of them?
Man, well, it depends. What what's his name in Las Vegas?
That's one.
And, I mean,
I think Jeremy's right. Like, really? Sam LaPorta had a drop-off from his rookie year. TJ Hockenson really hasn't been
Kittle?
Elite. I mean, okay. Yeah, you could argue for Kittle.
If you go to the ESPN top 10 tight ends, they have two guys ahead of McBride. I think they're wrong. I would have Trey McBride second on my list. They have Kittle at number two, which I think I would have Kittle at three. I would have McBride ahead of Kittle. And then they have LaPorta at three. Ain't no way I'm putting LaPorta ahead of Trey McBride. No chance.
I agree with that. I might put Kittle ahead of McBride, but there's no way I'm putting LaPorta ahead of McBride.
Yeah, and I could listen to that. Like, I wouldn't you know, die
on
that hill.
Kittle was my first choice.
I would take McBride over Kittle. Okay. I would. Maybe I'm in the minority there. And, like, I think those are your top three. Bowers certainly number one.
We all agree number one is Bowers.
And, look, I like LaPorta, but I don't like him more than Trey McBride.
Plus, he's been hurt,
Kelsey's
right?
A little older. LaPorta was he a little banged up last year? I don't remember.
Yeah, and the year before he had surgery, didn't he?
No, you're thinking of Hockenson.
Oh, that's right, with Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, they have McBride at 65. I feel like that's too low. Even if he's your third best tight end, I feel like that's too low for Trey McBride. So I feel like that one's off by NFL.com.
No, I would agree with that to some degree. Yeah, I mean, look, I think that a lot of this is going to dictate where we see with the Texans. So I'm curious where some of the other guys come in and, like, where CJ lands and things like that. But, I mean, I also am getting kind of sick and tired of the hype train. Can we just get to football?
Corey says, yeah, I mean, I'm with you, but this is, we have to live it.
Absolutely.
Corey says Dak at 79 seems a little disrespectful.
I don't think so.
I mean, he's behind Darnold. Like, I would have Dak ahead of Darnold. I know Darnold had a better year last year, but who would you rather go to war with if all things were equal, Dak Prescott or Sam Darnold?
Dak Prescott.
Same. So, like, I could see where Corey's coming from, but I also think that they're overrating quarterbacks. Like, Sam Darnold was the one that we mentioned yesterday. Where was he? He was 72. I don't think Sam Darnold's the 72nd best player in the NFL. Sorry. Just don't.
I don't. Look, again, it's – and we talked about criteria and such. Sam Darnold had a good year last year. It didn't end well, and in the last part of the year, he kind of came back to the norm a little bit. But overall, 1 year doesn't make a career. I'm going to be real curious to see how Sam Darnold plays this year, because you don't have Justin Jefferson. You don't have some of the guys you had a year ago when you had, you know, a pretty damn good skill set.
Off the top of your dome, like, there's 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. There's going to be. Mm-hmm. Where would you have Darnold?
Lower half.
I'm like in the 20s. Yeah. So like, we're roughly the same ballpark. They have a quarterback who's in the 20s as the 72nd best player in the NFL. They overrated quarterbacks.
And again, it's, what are you looking at for this year going forward? Are you rating it just off of last year alone? When you ask about how what criteria went in, I've never been a believer in Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Look, credit to him for what he was able to do with a really solid offensive mind as a head coach, by the way. So let's see what Sam Darnold does this year. I don't think I'm not sure he should even be on the top 100.
Yeah. And these were voted on by players too. So it's like the players are overrating the position a bit, which, yes, it is the most important position in all sports. 713-780-ESPN. Julia is on the HRMP listener line. Julia, welcome into the Hive. What's up?
Hey, man. I appreciate y'all letting me back on, but I know y'all are going to call me biased, but listen to these numbers.
Oh, boy.
Brock Bowers, he had 1,194 yards. Trey McBride, 1,146. And Kittle, 1,106. McBride had 60 more targets, or 50 more. And then Bowers had 60 more. And then he had more touchdowns than both of them. And he blocked better than them. Y'all have a good one. I'll listen.
That just tells me he is a more accurate quarterback.
Brian,
that's all it tells me, Julia.
Again.
It was Julia. It wasn't Julian. It was Julia.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a difference. Yeah, it sounded like Julian, but it was actually Julia.
Yeah, I sure didn't think Julia was going to end his call a different way, but yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised Julia didn't drop the bang bang.
Exactly.
Gang. I mean, he threw out those stats there. All that tells me is that he has a more accurate quarterback.
Well, and the fact that the numbers don't lie, and the fact that you can say whatever you want about
targets. Is
that
true, though?
At the end of the day, if those are the accurate numbers.
Dang, they are.
Okay.
He had Trey McBride had 147 targets last year. Kittle had 94. But Trey McBride also caught 33 more passes. Like, that's pretty significant. Kittle had more big plays, though.
Yeah, I'm still a believer in George Kittle, but, I mean.
I love McBride. I'm a huge McBride fan.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
I just think he's really good. I mean, how many tight ends catch over 100 passes for 1,100 yards? Like, that's insane. It's insane.
Do we believe in his quarterback?
I mean, he's the most athletic guy
in
the world.
Okay, right. I understand that. But do we believe him as a quarterback?
I mean, I believe in him more than Sam Darnold. Like, what is the barometer here?
That's a tough bar, too.
Okay, well, let's go to their quarterbacks then.
Okay.
Kyler Murray or Brock Purdy?
See, I think in that system, Brock Purdy executes everything perfectly. I think Brock Purdy is a better quarterback than Kyler Murray.
I kind of do, too.
Yeah.
I kind of do, too. Kyler's certainly more talented.
Oh, for
sure. There's
no
doubt about that. But Brock Purdy does, like, everything right.
Yep.
And I do wonder, though, like, if you put Brock Purdy in the Arizona scheme, like, would he be better than Kyler Murray in the Arizona scheme? I don't think so. But Brock in the Shanahan scheme,
yep.
Short passes, let
it's
guys
like
get a bunch of yards
CJ.
After catch.
Decision making.
Yes.
Knowing exactly what of all of my different, with the route trees and all of my different options on this play, I know the right one to take based on the read. He is the perfect game manager for Shanahan.
No, I like Brock Purdy. Like, I probably like him more than the average NFL fan. I think, like, the year he had 2 years ago was unbelievable. He was like in the top five in every offensive quarterback category.
Look, I think that he does get undersold as a guy that's just in the right, absolute right place in the right system. I agree totally. If you put him in the Arizona system, he's not going to be as good. I just don't believe that there's any way because he's not as athletic. But do I think that Brock Purdy could still be a good quarterback in this league if he was somewhere else? Yes. Do I think Brock Purdy's better than Sam Darnold? Yes.
Yeah, I do too. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to these camp battles around the NFL. Some very intriguing ones that will be fun to watch. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Look, are you looking to escape the rat race for the weekend? Escape the hustle and bustle of the job? Yeah, of course you are. I have the best idea for you. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Fantastic time. Branham family went up there about 6 weeks ago. We loved it. We're going to be out there soon. Really enjoyed our time there. We were able to escape the city. We were able to relax. We were able to enjoy the great outdoors. And you should do these things too. Book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com. Right now, exploring the open green spaces. That was a lot of fun. 92 acres of property there. The wildlife that you don't see in the city. How about doing some kayaking if that's your thing? Beautiful, majestic trees. You can get out of the sun a little bit too because those trees are massive and you get in the shade. You like to play some pickleball? Do that too. They have a pool up there so you can hang out by the pool, get a dip in there as well. And also some of the best fishing in Texas. There are two creeks. Just phenomenal fishing. They also have a catch and release pond right there in the center of the property, which is great for the kiddos as well. You can't beat it. It's just 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You're there in an hour and a half. No big deal. Glamping. Cabins, tree houses, pull up the RV. They have it all. They have the perfect stay for anybody. We stayed in the tree house and the kids loved it. A few more days to capitalize on the incredible savings that you can use to your advantage. You book five nights right now and you save 35%. Can't beat it. So book that stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Summer circuit continues tomorrow. Join ESPN Houston, your favorite station, as we visit different restaurants over the greater Houston area. Each week you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. It's a $4,000 value. For registration, stop by the promo table at the broadcast. This week, tomorrow, Cadillac Bar on Shepherd. Come out, hang out. The boys will be there noon until 6 at Cadillac Bar on Shepherd. If you're looking for the entire summer circuit, you can visit ESPN975.com and check it out there. Eric says, what setting did you hit? Or what's it? I don't know what he's saying. What setting did you hit where my app commercials are in Spanish? Feels like something Brian did. Oh, he's blaming Brian. Eric's commercials are in Spanish, Brian. What did you do?
On no habla inglés.
Stream?
I get on the app. It says in the app. Okay. His app commercials. So I like sometimes like those are predictive, right? Like don't they have smartphone technology that like tries to predict like which commercials are suitable to you? Because like sometimes my Pandora, yeah, I listen to Pandora. I'm a noob. But like I listen to Selena Radio sometimes, so I get a lot of commercials in Spanish too because they think I'm Mexican.
We do have one car commercial that's in Spanish.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, so maybe it was that, and I don't know what else it would be. But there is, I think it's the
it's car. It's one of Lance's.
Yeah, it's the one that Lance speaks for. They do one of their commercials in Spanish, but I'm not sure what else he would have heard.
Eric, stop complaining and become cultured, man. Like, download the Duolingo app and check that out after 6 o'clock. Get a little culture in your life. It's good to have a couple different
and
languages.
And I'm Mexican.
Yeah, that. Texture Purdy probably does the homework, too. Yeah, he definitely does.
Yes.
Kyler might not. Kyler's playing Call of Duty with Cal McNair. So, yeah, you're probably right about that.
It's always fun to win.
Here are the top camp battles, the most entertaining camp battles in training camp, because we're ready. We're ready to go. NFL season today, day one. The top one that they have listed, NFL.com, the Cleveland Browns quarterback position, which is a it's a four-way match. Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders. I really think it's a three-way. I think it's a triple threat. I don't think Shedeur has any chance of being the starter week one of the NFL season. But how do you see this one playing out?
I've said all along that I think Joe Flacco is going to start it at the start of the year, just simply because of the fact he's a veteran. He's got the most experience. I think Stefanski, as good as he's been dealing with a whole lot of BS thrown his way, I think Stefanski knows that his butt could be on the line this year, and I think that he'll go with the guy that he trusts the most, and that's going to be Joe Flacco.
Okay, you're saying Flacco's going to win this job week one?
Yep.
I'm going to go Kenny Pickett. I'll go Kenny Pickett, wins the job week one, but I believe that Dylan Gabriel is going to start the most games at the quarterback position. I think they're going to try to groom Dylan Gabriel, make him, you know, the future of the position. And look, people are like, well, why not Shador? Well, Shador was drafted way later than Dylan Gabriel. So I'll go Pickett, but Gabriel starts the most games.
I think that the only thing that makes that interesting is the fact that they've had so much bad pub and they've taken so much heat from Deshaun and the Haslams and all the other things of how they've just been ridiculous. That do they really want to have more people coming at them? Like, why not Shador? I just, whether it's the right decision or not is a totally different conversation. I just wonder if they're going to push Shador because they're trying to push more attention positively for the entire franchise if they're not going anywhere. I think from a Stefanski perspective, that's why I said early on, I think he's doing anything to win football games and save his butt.
So you think Shador would be like put more like popular or PR for than Gabriel?
I do.
Huh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Flacco starts as well. And I mean, look, I don't think either Shador or Dylan Gabriel really have a shot to begin the year unless they just look like they're the second coming of Tom Brady or something. Because I think it's just easier to sell the narrative of third round rookie, fifth round rookie needs more time. You start Flacco, you can bench and put Joe Flacco back in at any point. I don't think that causes any media storm. That causes zero circus, you know, or anything in the media. So I think you start Flacco, you ride him for about a month until things go bad, then you make the switch. Maybe it could be Kenny Pickett, but there again, like if you start Kenny Pickett right away and he sucks, I don't think you can go to back at Pickett at any point. I think Flacco's the perfect guy to start, take the lumps, and then put in the younger guys.
I'm not really worried about going back to Pickett, though. Like, if Pickett needs to be benched, like, his days as an NFL starter are done. And the Browns are going to be awful anyways. Like, they're going to get into developmental mode pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just what is maybe, obviously, it doesn't matter what he did with Pittsburgh because it's going to matter what he looks like to the fans during training camp. But I just haven't seen anything from Pickett that thinks he could play even better than – you know, nearly 40 or 40-year-old Joe Flacco at this point. I think Flacco's shown better play even his last trip in Cleveland in 2023, especially that regular season game against the Texans. I think it'll be Flacco until he flames out, and then they'll go to the one of the young guys.
Pickett wears multiple gloves, though. Like, he's got that going for him.
To cover up his tiny hands?
Trying to get
Kenny two gloves with the tiny mitts.
Colts, the second best battle, according to NFL.com. Anthony Richardson versus Daniel Jones. I saw somebody tweeting out today, like the play-by-play, and they were like, Anthony Richardson, pass broken up, nearly intercepted. Daniel Jones, intercepted. So it's one of the more fascinating quarterback battles that we've seen in recent memory with two quarterbacks who most people don't think are any good. Who do you think wins this battle, AR-15 or Daniel Jones, Vanilla Vic?
I think it's Daniel Jones, and we've talked about this previously where I just believe that as much as Ballard is trying to avoid the inevitable, it looks like he made a really bad pick, picking Richardson where he did and doing what he did to get him. And I think that Daniel Jones gives you the best chance to win of the two guys that might not be stellar, but I think right now, with as bad as Richardson, look, there's a lot that he has to erase. He has to erase what happened here in Houston. And that's just from the standpoint of every player in the league and everybody that saw it going, no one does that. Like, when have you ever seen a quarterback that called uncle? And then on top of that, the fact that he can't throw the football. I think that Daniel Jones, with a less than Giants team, was at least serviceable, and I think he'll end up getting the starting job.
I think with most other quarterbacks he could compete with, Anthony Richardson would lose the job. But Daniel Jones is, I don't know. Like, I know he had that one year where he and Daboll went to the playoffs and they beat the Vikings in the first round. But I think Daniel Jones ends up starting more games this year. But they invested the fourth overall pick in Anthony Richardson. I don't think they're going to bail on him before the season starts. I think they let him go into the season. And if he sucks, if he looks like he did last year, if he looks like he did in limited action during his rookie year, then they bail and Daniel Jones starts the rest of the year. But I think they're going to give him one more shot and he wins the job.
I think they're going to go with Vanilla Vic and then turn it over to AR-15 later. So I'll go Daniel Jones on that one. Another quarterback battle, New Orleans, Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler. How do you think this one plays out?
I think this is one where they're going to go with Shuck, because I think Shuck's going to be the quarterback of the future. I think that they like him, and I think that based on the fact that, you know, what Rattler was, well, the sixth, seventh round pick, he was late round pick, but I think that they believe that Shuck has enough in the toolbox that he could be the guy going long term, and they're going to just get him ready. They're going to get him seasoned. He's got an offensive minded quarterback. I mean, a coach. I believe that's the direction they'll go.
I think everyone loses trying to watch Saints football. Like, I don't know if it matters. Like, if you start Tyler,
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, you start Shuck, you start Rattler, they're going to be a two win team regardless. I mean, I know Shuck has some draft capital, but he spent 7 years in college for a reason. I mean, he was Justin Herbert's backup at Oregon. If he was someone who could come around and make that putrid of a roster into something palatable, he would have left college football long before spending 7 years. So Shuck probably wins it. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. They're a terrible team.
See, I think their plan is they're going to try to see if Shuck can be the future guy, and then whenever he inevitably fails, they're going to dip right back into the rookie quarterback market next year with a very early draft pick. So yeah. I'm going to go Shuck. Giants, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Jackson Dart.
This is Russ. And this is...
I think Dable said it today, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe...
He named him already?
He said he's our quarterback.
Okay.
I think that just from, again, another coach that might be on the hot seat, I believe, and we've had this conversation previously, I just believe that he knows that there's a veteran guy with enough experience that he can at least feel confident trusting to make the right decisions for a team that has to win in order to save his job.
Yeah, I think it's Russ for all the reasons you just mentioned. Like, Daboll and don't forget Joe Shane as their GM. Yep. Like, especially after that embarrassment they suffered on the Hard Knocks offseason. Like, they have to win, or they might not even make it through the full regular season. I think Jameis will see some playing time, and ultimately Jackson Dart will as well, who, speaking of bad throws, apparently he threw a pick six on his first practice throw today. So not off to a great start there in New York, but there's no way Jackson Dart starts the year. And Jameis over Russ, I couldn't see happening. So by default, it's got to be Russ.
Yeah, unanimous Russ. Cowboys running back situation. Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, Jaden Blue. Not great.
Not great.
Everyone loses again.
Yeah, I just – look, we said yesterday, I don't know if the Texans have – I mean, the Cowboys have a running game. So do you take the veteran and just take – and just trust that he can at least be serviceable?
Yeah.
That's the only way I can think about it.
So you're saying Sanders?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to hope that something's left in Javonte Williams. Like, he had that catastrophic knee injury in year two with the Broncos, mm-hmm. and really hasn't looked the same ever since. But if one of these guys hits an upside, because apparently they hate Jaden Blue already, apparently there were reports came out the other day that they think he's lazy already. He's barely even started.
I heard that pre-draft, though. Like, I heard that about him pre-draft.
Yeah, that was – I mean, look, he lost his job at Texas. That was mostly because he fumbled, and they turned it on to turned it over to Wisner. But, apparently it's been a label that he hasn't been able to shake, so I don't think it's him – I don't think there's much in Miles Sanders left, so I think they go Javonte.
Yeah. All right, last one, the Jacksonville running back room. Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby, and then however you say this UCS running back's name, Bashel Tootin. Etienne, Bigsby, or Tootin? How do you say it?
Bashel Tootin.
I think I got it right. Did I not get it right?
Yeah, you were pretty close.
I think I got it right. So Etienne, Bigsby, or Tootin, and Blanker's the oldest of us with the childish jokes.
I still think they'll go with Etienne. I think they still... They like him. He's been there. Yeah, he's been dinged up a little bit. I don't think he's an everyday back, but I think they'll start the year with Etienne.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, first-round draft capital buys you extra opportunities that you wouldn't get otherwise. Like, he was great. I guess it was that first year he was hurt. He missed the entire season. That second year he was great. Last year efficiency went way down, didn't look great. Tank Bigsby definitely looked like the better player, but he was a first-round pick. I think they're going to give him the shot. Make him prove it to him that he can't do it, and then they'll turn it over to Tank Bigsby, but he'll get the shot to start the year.
I kind of like drafting all three of these guys, but I like ETN's value. Liam Cohen uses running backs, uses a lot of them, and they're usually all effective.
Duval.
So I like ETN's value quite a bit here, so I'll go with that. Texter, Daniel Jones is more swaggy. Trevor Lawrence, Tyler, and Conroe. I could see that. More swaggy Lawrence. I don't think he's as good as Lawrence, but that's beside the point. Pete, top training camp battle, Micah versus Jarrett. That's not a bad one. Dallas signs Damian Pierce once he gets cut. LOL. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Israel, you're in the Hive. What's up, Israel?
Oh, boy.
What's up, fellas? Hey, look at here, man. I've been following it, Camp. Mini Camp, you know I'm a Shador guy. So I've been following it. I don't think you've really been following it. People going off the draft. The draft is over. The mini camp came, rookie camp came, and they ain't real. They in camp now. Now it's going to get to preseason. First of all, Pickens, he had his shot. He had one game in Philly when they won the ring. That's one game. In Pittsburgh, they drafted him. He's a bum. Just throw him out. The other Flacco, he was in there with Richardson last year. Indiana could have kept him. He is not the answer for them. Let me tell you about Shador. Shador's completion rate in college was off. Only reason they didn't pick him, it had nothing to do with his talent. He is more Pickens. Man, they laughing at him in Cleveland. They like, why did they pick him? He's 5'11". He's slow. He don't have an arm. And they like, they going to get fired.
Why did they draft him ahead of Shador if he's so bad?
Oh, look, bro, that's over with. They got him
bro,
now.
Bro, it's over with. Come
and
on, man.
Now we're going to see. This is the thing. Since he's been in the little guy, the little 5'11 guy in Cleveland, he is the joke of the town.
But if he's so bad, why did Cleveland like him more? Like, I know the draft is over, Israel, but it's the same people there.
You're not even paying attention to it. Y'all just going off the draft. We're going to see now, and the season is here.
Yo, Windy City Blowhard, I went with you. I went with Shador. Come on, man.
Well, this is all I'm going to give, and with Russell Wilson. Last year at Pittsburgh, he took him to the playoffs, but his Pickens got hurt. His number one receiver got hurt, and then they started losing. They could never adjust.
He got benched.
The Giants is going to win. The guy who used to play for the Giants, the quarterback, he's trash. He had his turn. My man going to be him out. And it's going to be a great, great NFL season. And CJ is going to be in his third year. He's going to do his thing. Hey, the brothers is doing their thing at the quarterback position like never, ever before. Have a good season. And, you know, I'm going to continue to see what's going on. And I can't wait till season start when she'll do a takeover. And he'd be running for the rookie of the year. If he get over 8 starts, he's going to be the number one quarterback came out in this draft, and they sold $250 million in jerseys off him already. It's business, all right? And look that up. All right, y'all.
You could call it rack him. Rack Israel. I don't agree with a word he said, but no. I really enjoyed it.
Good Lord.
I enjoyed it very much. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Are you in or out on these football shows that are coming to Netflix? It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I wonder how much money Israel has on Shador Sanders starting. I don't think you bet it.
I don't either.
I wonder if you can find that anywhere. I wonder what the odds are. What would you place the odds on Shador Sanders being the week one quarterback for the Browns?
Pretty good value.
I'm at plus 1,000.
Yeah, at least.
Plus 1,000 is where I'd have it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. So some football shows are coming to Netflix. We've already seen quarterbacks out there. We had a texter yesterday saying that he's completed it. I'm about halfway through. I enjoy that series. Very, very good. The receiver one was pretty good the other day, last year as well. So there's two more coming. The first one's from the NFL. It's about the Dallas Cowboys. Here's the trailer. Are you in or are you out?
The road to a championship is never paved smoothly. It's always paved with peaks and valleys.
This is a soap opera 365 days a year.
Texas is football country. The hole in Texas Stadium so God could watch his favorite team, the Cowboys.
when I bought the team. I was Darth Vader.
Dallas fans aren't happy.
Last year, they were 1-15.
I said, Dad, I don't know anything about running a football team. And he looked me in the eye and he said, neither do I.
We were gambling my family's whole fortune, so I had to take risks. And it started with Jimmy Johnson.
Get part of this, Chris. Ask my mic. Get over there on that other field.
Oh, I've heard enough. I'm in. I am all in on the Dallas Cowboys Netflix special. You're going to watch this one, Blank?
Absolutely. And why wouldn't you? I mean, first of all, it's NFL and it's football. And if you get some of, we've always known that the Cowboys is a 365-day-a-year soap opera. But if any of the players actually tell some of the truths, that's worth watching all in itself. I don't need any more Jerry speak, but if the players talk about and elaborate on what kind of a bleep show it was behind the scenes, some of the things we've heard from Dalton Schultz and other guys after those guys were there, but during their heyday, if they can elaborate on some stories, that'll be good stuff.
Yeah, that would be – I hope they go all in. I hope it's not just fluff like a lot of these can be.
Well, because some of the sound bites from not just – that was a lot of Michael Irvin in there, but I saw some of the other ones with Emmett and Troy. And I'm like, if you get all those guys and you get the big guys that are talking, that should be fun.
Yeah, it's a chance to be really, really good. So I'm in. I'm all in. I'll watch all of that. Now, here's another one. This one's from college football. It's about the SEC. It's called Any Given Saturday. In on this.
Now, it's a little boy. Teachers would ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'd say college football player.
The SEC is the greatest place in the world to play college football.
The SEC teams who are winning the national championship.
There's such small towns, maybe there's 30,000. But you pull up to the stadium and there's 90,000 people.
If you play in this league, you will walk into the lot.
Buzz! I'm treating it like The Voice. As soon as I heard enough, I hit the buzzer and turn around because I want it. I'm a sucker for these. You know that I am. Any inside baseball when it comes to sports, like you give me behind-the-scenes stuff, I am in. So give me some Any Given Saturday. I want it all.
I'm with you as well. I love these kind of documentaries on what we, you know, like you said, the behind-the-scenes stuff. There's some of them already on just like different teams. I know they did one. I forget which channel it's on. They did one on LSU. They're doing one right now on, I think it's Virginia Tech football. But I see them a lot when I'm in the gym and they have it on. I will put that audio channel on right away. Going this, I love that kind of stuff.
Texture, wonder if John Hamm will return the favor and make a guest appearance on Jerry's new series. I think you're confusing the actor. Wasn't Jerry on The Landman with Billy Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he was on John Hamm's show, Friends and Neighbors.
No. He definitely was on The Landman.
Yeah, Jerry was with Billy Bob, not John Hamm.
Yeah, he was with Billy Bob. So maybe Billy Bob will return the favor and be on Jerry's new series. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pete, you're in the hive with the bees. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I am glad that y'all brought this up, that Netflix special on the Cowboys. And here's why. You know I'm a fan. The only thing that show gives the fans is a chance to stream it in 4K definition instead of dusting off their VCRs so they could throw their old tape in to relive the glory days from 30 years ago. You know, that's old news. If people really want to see all that stuff, go to YouTube. You know, but I'm kind of like over it.
Wow.
Until, yeah, it's like, again, I'm a fan. I'm always going to be a fan, though I do support the Texans as well. But this is getting old, and it's like, guys, no, I don't want to see you do it one more time because, well,
yeah,
it's
Pete,
tradition now for us fans.
Pete, what if it brings light to just how boneheaded Jerry is as like a personnel GM guy and all the decisions, and then maybe they can put some more heat on him to save your team?
Hey, you're right, but if Monday's opening press conference with the media at his training camp wasn't enough to show how boneheaded he is, maybe they just need more proof.
Appreciate
hey guys,
it, Pete.
Have a good evening. I am out.
Yeah, I would I mean, they're not going to force him to sell the team. Like, he's the owner. Like,
no,
he's
not sell the team, Jeremy. Don't misconstrue.
You said put heat on him to sell the team.
No, I didn't say sell the team. But to not give up the GM duties, so that he doesn't make the decisions because he's been so just boneheaded on decisions.
I agree with you, but do you think Jerry's going to heed that advice?
No.
No chance. No chance. I mean, this is the best chance the Cowboys have to winning a title this year, though. So, I mean, all Cowboy fans should be rejoicing at this. 713-780-ESPN HRMP listener line. A couple of texts. John Hamm is in Landman. Oh, that's right. John Hamm is in Landman. He had the heart attack. Good call. But Billy Bob's like the star in that. But you're right. John Hamm isn't it. My bad. I'll eat the nether texture. John Hamm is in Landman 2. I forgot. That's on me. I'll take the L. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Let's get to Cash 'em or Trash 'em. Cash 'em or Trash 'em with the Bs. What are you cashing or trashing? 713-780-3776. I'm cashing that HRNP is the best resources and payroll company in the world. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holley, so they're off to a good start. Go Cougs. And business owners, let HRNP help you, whether it's a little help in HR compliance. Maybe you need a little help in that area. Maybe it's benefits administration. You need some help there. They got that too. Payroll onboarding, HRNP can help in all of those areas. They can help with one of those areas, whatever you need, because there's no boxes with HRNP. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HRNP is going to completely customize a plan for what you need and what your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HRNP is going to find a way to help your business. And they do it in a way that's unique too. Technology meets service. They have the best technology in the game. You're going to love that. You're going to trust that. But their service is top shelf. You're going to love it. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always talk to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. Great ally to have on your side. They're always up to date with the current trends. You're going to love to have HRNP in your corner. So give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRNP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525. Or visit them online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.